Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We begin a new sermon series entitled Healing and Wholeness. Our speaker today is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar at St. James. The talk is entitled The Foundation. Readings are taken from Isaiah 53 verses 1 to 5 and Mark 2 verses 1 to 12. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
So today we're starting a new series. The new series is Healing and Wholeness. Wholeness implies being complete, being free from defect, having a sense of well-being in mind, in body and soul. The origin of the word comes from the Old English word hal. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, because Old English words tend to have a strange way of pronouncing them, but H-A-L is how it's spelled, the hal. Which again means free of defect or illness, sound in mind and body, vigorous and of good spirit. And you may have come across the phrase hale and hearty. Again, we don't tend to use that word anymore, but hale, that hale and hearty. Hale comes from that word hal. And it's also worth noting that both our words for health and holy also come from this same Old English word, hal. So health is a sense of being, of good well-being. And holy, of course, we know about holy, that sort of sense of being perfect, set aside, again, being complete. Both being described, both those words, hail, health and holy, describe a state of well-being, a state of perfection. So we'll be thinking about that during the coming weeks. Our readings today, we'll be talking about, mentioned healing, and Fabian, our vicar, will be talking to us about that subject, introducing the series on healing and wholeness. Please take a seat. So now we come to our readings from the Bible, from Holy Scripture, after which Fabian will talk to us and again remind you the subject is healing and wholeness. So look out for that in our readings this morning. Thank you.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 5. And this is where he speaks of the suffering servant who takes on the sins of many and brings healing and restoration to those who believe in him. So Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 5. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus heals a paralytic, and it's a lovely story which includes friendship. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, And after digging through it, they lowered the mat with the paralyzed man lying on it. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew that in his spirit, that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord.
Pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you and accomplish your purposes and intention for us today. Amen. So we're looking at healing and wholeness, and thank you, Ed, for that wonderful introduction, looking at some of those words. And that's what we're going to explore for the next 5 weeks, and you gave a very helpful summary. Today it's really setting up the scene to remind ourselves that at the heart of the story of the Bible is God's intentions to bring wholeness and healing to all his creation, and he's active at it. And one day it will be fully completed and manifested. That's the Christian hope, when heaven and earth are coming together. So we are in that story of healing and salvation. Next week, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and the place as we pray for each other, as we pray for our friends, as we seek to experience God's wholeness in our lives, in our family, and in our town. And then the third week, we're going to look at physical healing and what we call inner healing, in the sense of physical is maybe the tangible, you know, you come with pain or something that's kind of physical. Inner healing is those healings of our emotions, the things that comes inside that no one really sees. And often it manifests itself sometimes in physical way, and there is a clear a science of, we call it, I think it's psychosomatic symptoms. You know, often the physical illness have also an implications on our emotions and psychologically. And so we're going to explore that. Then we're going to think about deliverance, and that's quite a bit difficult, or maybe a bit worrying in our Western world, you know, the reality of evil and the reality of spiritual oppression. And that's very clear, and in countries like Africa, you go, it's tangible. And so we need to explore that, because it's part of God's desire to break in and to free. And then we'll look at prayer and healing and wholeness as a lifestyle, a call to all of us as a church and as people who know Christ. So let's set the scene today. And I'm really thinking, as I was preparing, to some people that have been close to me or that have been thinking, because they helped me think about the whole theme of healing and wholeness in a balanced way. There is scripture, but there is also the reality of our lives that helps us. And the first person that I'm thinking this morning, and is very close, is someone that's close to many of us, is Anne Tuckley. Anne Tuckley was a member of this church, and for the last few years kind of had cancer. And despite that, she was a rock in the team of healing ministry. She was part of our healing ministry prayer, and she firmly believed and prayed with faith for healing, for wholeness each time, while herself going through that experience of cancer. And she faced it with faith. She knew God could heal her completely, but she also knew that God was sovereign and that she could trust him. And her journey was much longer than what the doctor would have hoped for. And when the conventional treatments didn't work, she was offered a possibility to have something new, and she took it. So was that kind of balance of wisdom and practical decisions and yet faith and openness to what God, and still being faithful in the ministry, in that what she believed called by God. The second person I'm thinking this morning is my own stepfather, who was diagnosed with lung cancer when I was about 18, had a daughter who was just 8 years old. He had a faith, but he didn't go to church, but he knew I was praying, he knew people in the church were praying for him. He went through surgery, he had the chemo, and he was cleared. He was cleared of his cancer, and for 8 years lived quite a normal life, and was able to see his daughter grow to adulthood. The cancer came back after 8 years, and then in 2 years he died. And so when I'm thinking of healing, wholeness, and praying, and the ministry, I'm thinking about him and how that experience informs me. And then finally, I'm thinking of a good friend who is in Canterbury called Linda. Too many names. And wonderful person, again, very heavily involved in prayer ministry, being herself blind and being prayed for the healing of blindness. I believe she believes still that God could heal her of her blindness, but it doesn't stop her. It doesn't stop her to be a blessing to others. And it made me think of something like Paul, who says, I've been praying intensively for this thorn in the flesh, but God says, my grace is sufficient. So yes, God heals, I do believe. Sometimes we carry still the unfinished business of being in a fallen world, a broken world, but God's grace remains with us. So before we turn to that reading in Mark, maybe a kind of a sketchy framework, it's not a completely framework, to be thinking about sickness, about the reality of sickness in our world, whether it's physical, emotional, or the spiritual realities, and that's from a Christian perspective. And we could easily start with, well, it's the reality of living in a world. We have bodies, they get tired, they get older, it creaks more, there are limitations, we're exposed to the same viruses, to the same realities of our world, whether, you know, harmful chemicals that we don't understand, things we eat, things we breathe. Sometimes genetically we have conditions that are transmitted through our parents. That's the reality. It's the reality of living in a world, reality of living in an imperfect world. And so we pray with both realism but hope. And yes, even when we're old, God can touch us and heal and help and strengthen. So the reality of our bodies, we're not like car, you know, we have MOTs, we go to the GP and says, well, you know, things are being used for many, many years, and yes, in a car you can replace, and sometimes we have knee replacement, which is amazing, and we're thinking of Joyce Vernon, who had a knee replacement, and we're grateful for the NHS and all that that we have. But the reality is that we're not like cars, we can't just replace things, and we grow older. Secondly, we do wrong choices. Some illness, some ill health, whether they're physical or manifestation or more emotional, can be from habits that are not healthy, destructive habits, addictions, choices that we make that are not God's will. And then that takes courage to be honest with God, to repent, to leave that behind and to receive forgiveness and to experience God's grace and healing and forgiveness. There is the reality of the stress. Now, there is good stress, but also bad stress when it's too intense, or the bitterness that we can carry, the unforgiveness that we can have when we've been hurt. And at the heart of the Lord's Prayer is Jesus to say, forgive us as we forgive those who've sinned against us. The need to forgive, to release others, can be part of the healing ministry. It can be a journey. There are circumstances that so heavy and so hurtful that we need the help to get there, to get that place, to be able to release and to then receive God's forgiveness, but also to give God's forgiveness or forgiveness to others. Then we will explore that spiritual oppression. As believers, we believe God, we believe in the world of angels, and we believe there is a fallen world too. And we have names for kind of the main actor, Satan, the deceiver, the liar, and the reality of spiritual oppression and how we pray into that. In our Western world, maybe the most tangible is occultic practices, or people trying to find psychic power of influence. And often when that's the background, to name it, to pray in the name of Jesus can free people. I've seen people freed who were heavily involved in those practices, and they need it to confess and to get freedom from that. Then there is the brokenness of sometimes our circumstances. We might grow up in a broken family and carry some of those burdens. They can be physical burdens, emotional burdens, spiritual burdens, but Jesus breaks those chains. In my own family, one of the big fear of getting married is that I would repeat what I've experienced, a big divorce. And by God's grace, God's giving me the strength, and that's part of healing. God is changing circumstances and changing lives and giving a new future. But it was, and it still requires prayers and faith. And then maybe often, we don't know. We don't know why God heals some, and it doesn't seem to heal the way we think others. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He prayed. It wasn't removed. He had kind of an answer saying, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know why my friend is still blind, but I can see the fruitfulness and the faith and the strength she receives. I don't know why my stepfather had 8 good years, but then cancer came back. I don't know why our sister here while praying for healing went through those years, but that's in a sense our journey of faith. It is our journey of faith. We live with pain, with sickness, with hardship, because we inhabit a world that hasn't been fully redeemed. But something has broke in through Jesus, through the cross, and so we do pray in faith and in trust. There is a vision coming up, the new heavens coming together with earth, where there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more pain. And today we live in those two realities, the already, and Christ has already broken in through his death and resurrection, but the not yet. And so we can't escape sickness, and we will not be fully whole and restored on this side of life, but we can walk through it differently. With prayer, with God's presence, with hope, with trust, with strength, and with the fellowship and the care of his people. And at times God breaks in with his in his sovereignty as a signpost of what is to come, that we can be encouraged and strengthened. So it's very sketchy, it's not the whole thing, but maybe it helps us put into context the reality of ill health, mental health, the reality of why things are not what we sometimes wish to be. So let's turn to Mark and that wonderful, extraordinary healing of a paralyzed man who stands up and walks at Jesus' commands. But if we only focus on that physical, amazing miracle, we risk missing the deeper elements of that account, which reveals the heart of Jesus' ministry of healing and wholeness. And so let's pause, because in that story we have those four amazing friends. We don't know their name, we don't know who they are, but those amazing friends who Jesus highlights, because of their faith, something happens. And we're going to unpack that, but it speaks about us as a community and our role in this ministry of healing and wholeness. How can we be friend for the one who can't go to Jesus? Maybe because they're too disappointed, or they don't know, or they're too afraid. What does it mean to be a faith community like those friends? The second is the forgiveness of sins. We'll see in that story that instead of healing physically the person first, Jesus forgives his sin, restores him into the most important, the greatest of the healing, which is to know that we are loved by God and to be reconciled with God and to receive the Holy Spirit and that new life. That's the greatest healing of all. That's where it all starts, that restored relationship with God that then launches us into a new life where we're able to restore other relationships and to experience God's grace. And third, the healing was again a signpost. It was not just to how great Jesus is. Yes, he is. But it was to say who Jesus is, his identity, his authority. And that's the whole point with the healing, the forgiveness of sins. We're going to unpack that. And then, yes, we had the amazement of people. We've never seen anything like this. And it's not just, again, an amazing event. It's, wow, God is doing something. God is really present with us. Jesus was God with us, Emmanuel. And Jesus is with us in the Spirit. And when we believe and experience the ministry of healing, we'll have stories to share of God's goodness, of God's reality in our midst. So this story is not just a headline 2,000 years ago. It shows us who Jesus truly is. His authority to forgive, his authority to heal, to renew lives, and to make us start that journey of healing and wholeness. So let's go a little further in those various points. First, community. What does it mean to be that community of care, of faith, or perseverance as we pray for the healing and the wholeness of one another and our own growth? So we see this remarkable story, four friends carrying their friend who's paralyzed. And in that story, if you take the time, you realize that first they don't let the crowd stop them. It's full and they can't go through. They don't even let the roof stop them. They dig. That was how houses were built. You could have a little staircase and you could kind of dig through. And today, go to the roof of a person. Maybe today would be they would break the window. I think that's the kind of saying, what are you doing? They would break the window to get through. They do that. They don't let dignity or embarrassment or difficulty stop them. They persevere with faith, with love, with their determination. It's more than friendship. It's a community surrounding that person who, without them, would never have been able to get to Jesus. And for me, it's a wonderful picture of what a church is meant to be for each other. These four people are a picture of what it means to care enough to act, to persevere when it's hard, and to believe that Jesus is the one who can bring an answer, who can make a difference in the life of a friend. Could be a friend with no faith, could be a friend, a situation that you know. It's not just a paralyzed man, it's our faith together. And faith moves and makes things happen. So my reflection this morning is, do I have in my life someone I need to bring to Jesus? Could be in the three people you are praying this week. Could be someone you bring to Jesus through Alpha. Could be that you feel comfortable in bringing him to this church on a Sunday. or an activity. Someone who you know may be just too tired, too broken to really believe in a good God who has a plan for his or her life. Do you need to carry that person or a situation in prayer? To start there and see where God leads. What if our community was marked by the same kind of audacity than those friends? Praying with perseverance, not giving up, standing with, loving and caring. Willing to make a scene, even before God. God, break through. Maybe God is calling you not just to come to Jesus for yourself, but to be that like a friend, like that four friends, to carry someone else. So that's the first one. How are we a community that express that? Second one, looking at a little bit further in that story, so the friends lower their friends through the roof, and mostly I would have expected, wow, Jesus is going to make a miracle. That's great. And yet, Jesus starts somewhere else. He says, your sins are forgiven. What a surprise. The crowd, the friends, the man expected maybe physical healing, and Jesus begins somewhere else. Sometimes we come with our own needs, but Jesus knows better and starts somewhere else. And the prayer ministry needs that discernment when we pray with one another, discernment of what is going on and what is Jesus saying. We bring people to Jesus, we come to Jesus, and he does what he only can do and what at times he must do. The most important need we all face is actually having the broken relationship we've got restored. That's the most important need. From that foundation, then wholeness and healing start also to reach all the other parts of our lives. And this challenges us not to seek Jesus just for temporary relief, but to embrace his desire to deeper healing and lasting transformation. Forgiveness is the start of that true and deep healing. Once we receive, something of God's story start emerging in us. The third point is that always healing points to Jesus. You have stories to share of God's grace in your life because they point to Jesus. You might not be able to know how to bring someone to Christ. You might not, have all the verses, but you have your story of God's grace in your life. And that touches people deeply because they can, maybe your story relates to something they are going through, and they can see the reality of God in your life. Here it points to Jesus' authority and identity. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus doesn't back down. He proves his authority. He shows that his words of forgiveness are not empty. He is the person who can not only forgive sins, but heal. Get up, take your mat and walk. And instantly, the man rises and walks home. The crowd is amazed and God is glorified. This physical healing for me is more than just a miracle of compassion. It's a signpost to a deeper reality that Jesus is the one through whom we come to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through him. This is the title that he received in our reading. We hear Son of Man. In another gospel, the main title is Son of God. It's the same kind of title. And it's not that God, had a physical child in a human biological way. It's about identity and relationship. In ancient world, when someone was called son of, it meant that the person was the same in nature as the father. He carried the father's identity, character, and authority. So when the Bible calls Jesus the Son of God, it means he shares the very nature of God. He's God showing himself to us in human form. That's the title we celebrate at Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. So he reveals Jesus, who God is like. Not distant, not cold, not abstract, but personal, loving, present, And here maybe helpful analogy. Imagine light. We can't look directly at the sun, get blinded for that. But you can see and feel and experience light in very different ways. We can see each other today because there is light. If there's no light, no sun, it would be completely dark here. And so in the same way, God is vast and beyond our comprehension. But Jesus, the Son, is like God's light reaching us, showing us his heart, his ways, his desire, his intentions. When we encounter Jesus, his forgiveness, a healing, a grace, something that transforms our life, our lives then in return becomes a reflection of God's purpose. The person had a mat to take, and he had to walk, and now he had a story to tell. And so I wonder, when we explore the ministry of healing and wholeness, I wonder what healing or grace you've already experienced that you could share. Maybe this month, maybe it can come to me, because the witness, you know, testimonies are powerful. Or you want to share in your life groups, or in the groups you are involved in the church, or you want to share, pray to share that maybe God give you an opportunity to share with a friend. Have you experienced God setting you free? Free from fear, free from anger, free from pain, bitterness, from unforgiveness. Tell that story. How did God do it? Who in your life needs to hear your story? So what is your story? And what is your need? We've seen that from the beginning, God's desire has been and continues to bring life. Life where there is death, peace where there is conflict, reconciliation where there is division, wholeness where there is brokenness. Jesus' ministry shows us this again and again. He heals the sick, yes, but more than that, he restores people into community. He gives them back their dignity. This person has a new dignity now. He's restored not just to physical health, but to a new life in his community. He drew us into God's kingdom of love and justice. So when Jesus heals, it's never just about the body being mend or a feeling or being in our own thoughts. But it's more about the story we can then share. It's about relationships that he can bring together again. It's about communities being renewed. It's about hope being restored. And so this is why in the gospel, the word healing and salvation are often intertwined. Healing and salvation. And this is why, as people of God, we cannot ignore this call. To follow Jesus is to step into that ministry of salvation and healing and wholeness. It's a privilege to experience it, to ask for it, to see God at work in the life of our church, but also to share it with others. It's our responsibility, not only here within our walls, but with our families, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, in our wider community. So as we think about our own stories, our own needs, let's, in the coming weeks, pray. Pray God that God will be close to us, show us the way that we can be good news to our world, be good news to each other, and be that place where healing and wholeness can take root and continue to grow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have authority to remove, first of all, our guilt and our shame, and to heal. Today, move among those of us who are broken, in body, mind, and spirit. For those searching, may they know your forgiveness and new life. For those who struggle with sickness, whether they're physical or mental, may your healing presence touch them even now. And for your church, fill us with faith to pray, to expect, and to believe. Make us a people who carry others to you until all can see and say, we have never seen anything like this. In your powerful name we pray. seeking your glory and your will. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.